If only they knew, the hub for young business minds.
Right, Lucy, thanks so much for coming on. How are you doing?
No worries. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I'm good. Just kind of adapting to the new normal, as everyone is calling it at the moment, and just taking things as they come, really. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much the same. It's been a bit hectic, but yeah, like we just said before the recording, it's the life of a podcaster, I guess. So sort of taking it day by day.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and as you were saying as well, it's so difficult to schedule anything because it's not just us that have lives upside down at the moment. I think everyone does, even people in really steady jobs. It's, I don't know about you guys in the UK, but even last week for us, the government came on and brought out new restrictions with curfews and limiting the number of people indoors and stuff like that. And that literally just changed in a week. So yeah, I think no one can really plan further than next week because you don't know what the government's going to say or what things are doing. So yeah, it's a weird time.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sure we'll get into it a bit later on. But for those who don't know exactly who you are and the great work you're doing, if you don't mind explaining a bit more about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So thank you, by the way, for that little compliment there. So my name's Lucy. I'm 23, from Dublin, and I'm a multimedia journalist. That's like my day-to-day job or what I studied. And I'm also the host of What It's Like with Luce podcast, which is a series that aims to highlight ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's kind of, I feel like nowadays, when you work in media, you have a million different job titles. It's so hard to just say one thing that you do because you kind of have to do everything. But at the moment I'm copywriting and focusing a lot on my podcast work and bettering my presence in the online space, I guess. So yeah, that's like me in a nutshell.
Yeah, I'm the same. Obviously, I've got my media group as well. So we're pretty much in similar like conditions and that. And I feel like, yeah, I do so much. I can't find like the right word to sort of describe what I do. So if someone asks, I normally just go with like content creator, although that sounds a bit like stuck up sometimes, I think. So I either go with content creator or just a podcaster or just like a nobody. I think it's easier. Like anything else is just like,
say like digital content. Yeah, digital content creator. That's fine, I think. Because that is what it is. Like it's hard to pin down because I think then people immediately assume if you say like content, they're like, oh, influencer. You're like, no. So yeah, it's a hard one. But
so let's dive straight into it then. If everyone likes this little segment, because it gives people a chance to sort of understand who the person that they're listening to, who they really are and what they was like when they was younger. Because obviously, as you know, my audience is a very young demographic. So if you don't mind telling us a bit more about what you was like, I say young, when you was younger, a few years ago, when you was in school and stuff, what was you like? What was you into?
Yeah, it's such a hard one. I ask my guests that as well, but I never like think about it myself. So me in school, I feel like I was a pretty hard worker. I took my studies really seriously. I had a bit of a weird time in school just because from like location perspective, because I moved to Africa halfway through my schooling, like secondary school. Wow. So I lived in Dublin all my life till I was 15, and then I moved to Namibia and lived there for 2 years and did like the whole school thing as normal over there and things. Before you
get onto that, I feel like that's such a like elephant in the room. If you don't mind, why did you go to Africa, like, and sort of what was all that about?
Yeah, so I moved there with my dad's job. So we went on international assignment. He's a marketing director, and he went to work. He works with beer and like alcohol products. So he went to work in a brewery over there. Wow. We like packed up and moved. It wasn't that crazy an adjustment for me because I had always traveled my whole life. Like my grandparents did the same thing as what we did in Africa, but in Asia, for like 20 years, they lived in Singapore, China, Hong Kong as well. So every summer, in the Irish school system, we get 3 months off in summer. Well, I did anyways in my school. So literally we'd break for school for summer and then I would go to Singapore for the whole summer. Wow. To spend time with my grandparents. So I've kind of grown up with a really heavy emphasis on travel, and it just, because of circumstances, became a really big part of my life. So I was very used to being around really foreign cultures, because it wasn't just like, I don't know, going to Spain or something. It was like a really, really different atmosphere. And I was around that from such a young age. So going to Africa, I was so excited about going. Obviously, you know, I was gonna miss my friends and everything like that, but I've always been pretty adventurous, and I feel like I have itchy feet. So that's why this quarantine thing and the corona is so difficult for me, because I'm always traveling for different things. So yeah, moving there, I was really open to it. I was really excited about it. It was definitely more of a culture shock than what I anticipated, because I'd never obviously gone to school in a different country and integrated my life in such an extreme way. Elsewhere, it was always kind of holiday. But yeah, you know, I like to think that I have a pretty open-minded approach to life, and I adapted the best I could. I had a really great experience there, but then due to, you know, differences in education, I was 17 when we left, so I was coming into the like final year exams and stuff like that, and I knew that I wanted to go to college in the UK because my mom's from the UK. So whatever exams I did were going to be really important in terms of entering in September, because also in Namibia, this is like so much detail, stop me if I'm rambling, but like they do school year January to December, so I would have had a big gap like of 6 months where I had to wait before I went to college, and I just didn't want to do that. So yeah, we left, also like other reasons with like my dad's job and all that kind of thing, but also like for education purposes, and I came back to Dublin, and it was a definitely a weird transition period of it's so weird to leave your life and come back into it when you kind of thought maybe you weren't gonna do that, you were gonna kind of move forward. It's weird to go backwards. But I basically just decided whenever I came back, you know, head down, knew what I wanted to do at university, and I knew that I wanted to leave Ireland. So it was very much just like a year and a half of study, like hard graft, to get my points that I needed. And then so that's kind of, I don't know if that answered your question at all, but I guess I was like, I've always been pretty ambitious and I've known what I wanted, and once I decide to do something, I'm 100% in it. I'm kind of all or nothing, which is like a blessing and a curse, because I'm not that great at multitasking. But yeah, I was always hardworking, but also, you know, I'm quite social as well. I like to be involved in a lot of different activities. I kind of had a lot of extracurriculars, and sports was important for me too in school. So yeah, I just like embraced the whole experience and had a good time in school, I guess.
That sounds like the complete opposite to me. As you was talking there, really? I was thinking, no, that's not like me. No, that's not like me either. Like, I feel like I would have loved to have that opportunity. I know you create the opportunities yourself and stuff like that, but I just didn't, my mind just wasn't thinking of outside of London, let alone outside of England, outside of Europe, etc. And I feel like if I would have had those experiences at a younger age, it would have just opened up my mind a lot quicker. I feel like I've opened up my mind quite a lot, but I feel like it was not too late, but I feel like it was later than it should have been, if that made sense. I feel like if I would have experienced what other people in the world were going through, and just not just that, but like not just outside the country, but just in terms of the other opportunities that are out there, because I always thought it was just sort of like school, like secondary school, college, uni, job. Like I thought that was how it is, and like you said, there's so many other options out there, and I just wish I would have sort of picked up on that at a younger age, you know.
Yeah, like I always say I'm like extremely grateful for the circumstances that just put me in a space that led me to travel so much from such a young age. It was purely circumstantial, like with my grandparents living abroad first of all, and then obviously with job stuff. But yeah, like travel has changed who I am as a person massively. And it's so important to me. So that's why like I always try and also, like, as a creative, I'm sure you know this as well, like, inspiration is such an important part of what we do, and if you can't find inspiration, you cannot work. And I get my inspiration definitely from seeing other cultures and new places all the time. So yeah, I really like to make sure that that's part of my life. You know, before it was kind of, sorry, I moved to class. Before it was like, you know, every month I would try to go somewhere, and I used to work as a travel writer as well, so it would like interlink. But yeah, it's just weird times at the moment that we can't. But also on what you're saying about, you know, not really looking outside of London, I feel like that's so understandable though, because you did grow up in such a huge city like London. So Dublin, yeah, it's like a capital city, and it's not, we're not living in the back end of nowhere, but in terms of a global scale, it's very small. And I don't feel like it's as cosmopolitan as London is. So even when I was here, I would have been looking towards London. Like, that's where I wanted to be. Yeah. So I can understand why you in London were concerned about London. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah, I think a lot of people around the world are trying to get to London as well. So I feel like it makes sense. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
So I guess it was that sort of that opportunity to sort of travel, see the world, and just be a bit more open-minded and stuff, and sort of spark that curiosity within you. Is that sort of what drew you towards the idea of journalism and the type of work you do today, or was it completely coincidence?
No, yeah, for sure. I think yeah, I always say, like, I'm one of the most nosy people ever. I'm always asking questions, always curious about what everyone's doing. But definitely having experienced a lot of the world and a lot of life outside of my own, I was always looking for something that would allow me, well, one, to travel, but two, you know, to explore different circumstances that weren't my own. I'm just really interested in other people's experiences. So I was always looking for a job that would allow me to delve deeper into that every day. The other side of journalism that I love is that it's never the same. It's so transient. You're never doing the same thing. Well, it's changing now with online, but you can choose, you know, to be in a situation where you're not in the office all day, you're out on your feet, you're out on the street, like in the nitty gritty of everything. And that's what I really wanted from work. I can never sit behind a desk. I did do it for a while, but it just kills me, like being chained to the same place. I can't do it. But yeah, and I guess that kind of ties into the theme of my podcast as well. It's just, I've always just felt like hunger is the wrong word, but maybe it's an obsession, I don't know, but like hearing other people's stories and their experiences in life, and then what connects us together, and how one person can experience something so different, but then relate to another person from another side of the world about something else. It's really cool how everything's interchangeable despite us all experiencing this planet in such a different way. That sounds so deep, but like, it's weird because we're all on the same physical piece of a planet, you know. I don't know what that is, all the science stuff, but we're all like experiencing the same, you know, in theory the same day to day. We wake up, we work, we go to bed, but everyone has such massively different experiences, and I just like to explore that and then how it all connects together.
Yeah, 100%. And I think on that, like, it's mad how obviously some people are born into certain situations, and that's good for them or bad for them, even. It depends what situation you're born into, but some people are almost like almost destined for certain things, like if their family's rich, or if they grew up in a poor country, it sort of, there's limits, different limits onto what you can achieve, and you're more than likely to go into a certain thing if you're brought up in a certain place or around certain people. But it's crazy, like, there's a fine line where you can almost, well, not almost, but you can literally create your own lifestyle, you know. If I want to, like you said, if you want to travel the world, you can. You just need to figure out what the best job would be so you can actually support yourself financially and find the best route around it all. And the same for me, like, I wanted to reach out to new people. I didn't have much friends at school, not in like a sad way. I just didn't connect with certain people. and I wanted to connect with more, and I found the podcast. So I feel like no matter what it is you want to do, there's almost like a, if you can imagine it like a little package, like there's a package for you. You just need to find out what's included in that package and sort of build it yourself. But there's always options for you no matter what you want to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I love, you know, that you have that mentality as well. And I think that's why all of us in the space kind of connect so much too online, is that we're all kind of, you know, on the same wavelength in life, that you can create an opportunity from anything. If you want something bad enough, you'll make it happen. And there is that really cliche saying of like, your only limit is yourself, because I think that, of course, whatever you're born into, your background, your circumstances will play a factor. Like, of course, I'm not taking that away from anything. But at the end of the day, you know, it's your life. You create your narrative, you create your story, and you don't have to let that background or that initial start dictate what you do in the future. And especially with online now, I think that no one has an excuse anymore, because online, if I know that like the actual device costs money, but in general, everyone has that device. Most people have a phone. I don't like generalize, but most people do have a smartphone. Instagram is free, YouTube is free, all of that stuff, you know, and you can see it from influencers, whatever your opinions are on them, they've created that opportunity for themselves. They didn't find a job in the generic sense of like the business world or whatever that suited them. So they went online and they created their own platform. And now, you know, they're living these dream lives that everyone wants. And it's like, well, you can do that yourself. You have a smartphone. That's all they started with. So I have massive respect for that industry in that sense. I just think if you want it bad enough, you will do it, but you have to push yourself. And I think it's coming to that realization that until you take it into your own hands, it's not going to happen. Like, it's not just going to show up, because you can be born into whatever, but realistically, until you ask for something or until you go out and find it, like, it's not going to just show up on your doorstep. No matter how much money you have in the world, you can't say, oh, I want to be an influencer tomorrow, and, you know, just because you have money, it happens. Like, you have to actually put in the work to make it happen, you know? So yeah, I think if you want something, there is nothing stopping you going out to get it other than yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, like, when I was younger, I think it's just a solid like case study. When I was younger, I literally had like one or two friends. And like I said, that's the reason I started the podcast, to connect with people. And through my phone, I connect with people I'd never would have connected with before, like people like yourself, like in other countries, like people that aren't in my field at all, like just completely, I would never have even seen them or heard of them. But through my phone, I've been able to connect with these people. And yeah, it just makes you realize like how easy it is to sort of craft your own world, whatever you want. And whatever you want to attract, you can create. And I don't want to always bring it up, and I don't want to dive into it too much, but like with the law of attraction and manifestation,
I love this.
Yeah, I'm a massive believer in it. And as I'm talking there, I was sort of debating whether to go into it or not, but I just wanted to hear your take on it, because I definitely believe in it. But yeah, what's your take on it?
Yeah, no, I do as well. And I'm not like a religious person or overly spiritual or anything like that, but I remember the first time I was shown The Secret. It was actually a teacher in Namibia, so I would have been about like 15. Mm-hmm. And we had like these health life classes that we had once a week, and she showed us, we watched the movie, you know, they have it on Netflix as well, the movie of The Secret.
Oh really? And I didn't know it was a thingy as well.
Yeah, you have to watch it. It's good. So she showed us that, and I never heard of it before or anything, because I guess like at 15, you're not really thinking about life and stuff. Yeah. But she showed it to us. And since that day, I was like, okay, this is what I believe in. You know, like everyone chooses whatever they believe in life, whether it's like a religion or, I don't know, angels or whatever it is that you're into. But that was like, I was like, okay, this makes sense to me, that like it's that thing of, your vibe attracts your tribe, but it relates to everything in life. Whatever you put out, you're going to get back. If you're an overly negative person, which, you know, it is really difficult to be positive all the time. Like, no one is positive all the time, especially when outside sources at the moment are making it so hard to be. But if you're obviously expelling negative energy all the time, you can never expect positive energy to come back. Like, it's just not, it doesn't make logical sense.
I don't believe
in it, in the sense that, you know, if you just sit there and you think about something for like 5 minutes every day, it's going to happen. Like, you have to actively put the work in towards making it happen. It's not magic. But I like the message behind it, in that you invite something into your life, like a thought. Like, you might be like, okay, I want, you know, a mini tomorrow, like the car. Or not tomorrow, but like, I want a mini. So then, like, you have that image in your head, you kind of, again, obsess is the wrong word, but I can't think of another word, over it. It's your goal. And so then subconsciously you end up working towards that goal because it's what you're thinking about so much. Mm. For me, that's kind of how it works. It's that it places a focus on what you want in your life at that time. I think it's nice for anyone as well that's feeling that they don't have a direction or they're struggling in what they're trying to do. If you do a bit of research about it, and, you know, I don't know, I'm not an expert on it or anything like that, but that's just what I took from it. It's that it grounds what you want at the moment in an object or in a certain lifestyle that you can then every day wake up. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling a bit like, oh, you know, can't be bothered today, you think of your image of what you're trying to manifest, and then it might get you going. That's what I like about it.
You may have noticed me as you was talking now, I reached down and I've literally just started reading it. It came yesterday.
Oh, really?
I've just started reading it.
No way.
It's so weird, like, because without even sort of mentioning this book or anything similar, loads of people mention it to me, like, in the past few weeks, and it's been so strange. But I think I'm only a few pages in. I've only sort of spent like 5 minutes on it as of yet. But I've been working with the UK's number one unconscious mind therapist, and the people that listen to the latest few episodes of this podcast are going to get so annoyed because I keep bringing them up. But this whole topic seems to come up over and over again. And he was talking about the law of attraction and stuff like that. And I won't go into it, but there's a science behind it that he explained, and it made me sort of buy into it a bit more, and sort of made me realize it is real. And I think even if you don't believe in it, and even if it isn't real, I think even if it's a placebo, that's more than enough. It's so much better than what you would be getting. But for me, I think that the examples that I've had happen to me, I think it's way too much of a coincidence to sort of shut down the idea of the law of attraction not being real and stuff like that. You know, no matter what it is, like, I was considering getting a particular car, and for the past few weeks, I wish I took a photo of everyone I've seen. I've seen literally way over 100 of this exact style, of this exact color, of this exact car. And I just think for me, it's way too much of a coincidence. But yeah, I think especially for young business people, I think it's a good topic to sort of dive into a little bit more. And I think my take on it is, if you're constantly thinking of something, the subconscious brain will just point you in a direction of certain things. So, and it will pull you one step closer at a time. So I think, like, for me, say with the car, I'll keep seeing these cars, so it'll constantly keep being on my mind. And then without noticing, I'll drive past an Audi garage, and even if I see it in like my peripheral vision, my brain will say, that's that car. And then I'll look at the showroom, say, and then I'll notice that they have a deal on. And then I look at that deal and it'll say 10% off. It wouldn't, but for example, it would say like Sal or whatever, or new car just in. And it, obviously that will bring me one step closer. And I think it's just a case of bringing you one step closer at a time. But yeah, that's my take on it. And I wondered if you had anything similar, if you had any actual examples of it at all, like with the law of attraction or manifestation even. I think they're slightly different.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, like, as you were speaking, I was like, I bet he's going to ask me for example, and I don't know.
Well, I think just like from an outsider's perspective, it has happened to me as well. Like, it's not always one particular specific thing. Like, it's not always the car, or it's not always like the amount of money. I feel like, just like we mentioned earlier, in fact, I think it's like with your lifestyle, you can sort of manifest your own lifestyle, and subconsciously you're attracted to it. So I feel like perhaps with you, you wanted to create this lifestyle where you are traveling, and subconsciously or consciously or a mixture of the both, you've sort of been pulled towards it. And perhaps that's why you chose podcasting as a way to sort of fit in with that lifestyle and fit in with that package, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think it's, as you said, it's like a lot of little things too, that just, they happen without you even realizing. And maybe it's a sense sometimes of, it kind of ties into, you know, everything happens for a reason. So sometimes, like, so I used to work for Ryanair, that was the company that I did digital content for. And then a lot of that was traveling and like travel writing about new cities and flight paths and stuff like that. But it was so random how it happened. You know, it was like an easy apply on LinkedIn. I was kind of getting to the end of my patience with applying for jobs. I just come back from traveling in the States and Canada and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is never going to happen for me, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just came across this random job, didn't think anything of it. And then, you know, it happened and it turned out to be a perfect job for me at the time. Right. And then it's people say sometimes as well, you know, oh, that was the one I didn't even want. And then it turned out being the best job ever, or
yeah.
What, you know, like even in relationships, like, oh, I didn't even like that person. And then they get married, you know? So I think it's always just this thing of, your subconscious knows what's right for you, and the universe. I don't like using that word because it makes it sound mumbo jumbo-y, but yeah, it actually like magic. Is true. Yeah, it actually is true. I think it knows what's right for you in the same way that people believe that God has a plan or whatever. Like, that's not my vibe, but you know, it's kind of the same idea in that what's meant for you won't pass you by, all of that stuff. And I think it's like part of your subconscious always steering you away from things that aren't meant for you or whatever. But yeah, like life works in such weird ways. And I also think it's really important to have those moments where you sit back and you realize this is the reason that this happened too, so that then you can maybe learn from all this manifestation and the law of attraction and then use it to your advantage and figure out the patterns in how things have been happening. But yeah, I like what you said. I don't have a massive example where it's like, I pictured this car for a few weeks and then I got it. Because, you know, I was picturing passing my driving test for a long time and it took me 4 times to pass. So yeah. But I think it's a lot of little things. And then when I sit here and I think back on how things have worked out, because I've had a lot of times where things haven't worked out and in the moment I've been like, why, you know, why me, all of this kind of stuff. But then you start to figure out the patterns. You're like, that wouldn't have been right for me anyways. Yeah. So yeah, it's a weird one, but I think it is a really amazing tool for anyone listening that is feeling lost, especially in this time. Do a bit of reading and research around it, and it might be something that's really helpful for you, because it definitely anchors your thoughts onto a few different things and sets you on a path to start off with, and then you'll start to realize and see things happening. But yeah, like I really like it for that reason. If I'm ever feeling a bit confused or just unsure, you go back to the basics of what you're really trying to do within that frame of manifestation and what you're trying to attract and everything. And I think it brings you back to center a little bit.
Definitely. And I think, like I said earlier, even if it isn't real, I think even if you sort of use it to sort of change your mindset to a bit more of a positive switch, positive angle, I think that's all that matters. You know, even if you don't believe in it as such, I think it just puts your mind into a positive state. And you seem to be very switched on in terms of developing your mindset, and I wondered if you did anything else to sort of make sure you're on your best sort of form, you know, because I do but I do some form of meditation and journaling and stuff like that. So I wondered if you did anything similar to make sure you're on top of your game mentally.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna be honest, you know, I'm not always definitely have had really difficult moments with it and periods, you know, in my life where it wasn't working out so great. But I think from those times when it has been difficult, I've been able to pull a lot of things and a lot of thought patterns that I wasn't able to get to at one point, but now I can. You know, if something is really not working out, or if I'm really struggling to see the positives in things, I just pull it really back to basics, you know. And sometimes you do have to sit there and you have to go, is this life or death? No. Yes. So it's gonna be okay, you know. If it really is that bad, you need to pull it straight back to basics. Is anyone hurt? No. You know, are you not gonna wake up tomorrow if this happens? No. So it's really not that bad. Yeah, I feel like I'm like a super inquisitive person. So I'm always trying to get to the root of why I'm thinking things and why I'm feeling them. And I think because I've been like that, I've then found out some of the answers and I'm able to intercept before things happen. Yeah. Just from experience as well. You know, you go through a lot of things and then you learn. Do I do anything? I don't meditate. And this is one thing that I've wanted to do for a long time, but I feel like my brain is like 100 miles an hour all the time. And I know that's the reason people meditate, yeah. But I've never been able to sit there solidly for a period of time and switch off. It just doesn't work for me. I don't really know why, but I just can't get to that place where I'm switched off. I'm always thinking of something else.
I'll have to send over like a few, if you want to, like there's a few, cause I had that issue as well at the start. Like I'd be sitting there and I'd be thinking, oh God, I can't wait to do this tomorrow. Oh, that was so good what I did earlier today. And how about this? And like, I'd start, even if it was positive things, I just let my mind sort of carry me away and it would take, it would sort of defeat the object of doing the meditation. Like you said, it's the point of most forms of meditation is to sort of stop your mind for a bit and sort of let it relax a little bit. But I was thinking positive things about the future and where I want to be, but I feel like that's a different kind of meditation, you know. So one thing that I found was, I learned this from one of Russell Brand's videos. He said just sort of think of one random word with that you have no connotations with, and just keep thinking of that word, like literally keep saying it to yourself over and over again. And every time you sort of fill your mind, like start thinking, go back to that word. So he used the word flower, but for me, like flower has too many connotations. So I just try, like, I don't know, just something random, like wall or something like that. Just something that won't get your mind thinking. And just thinking of that over and over again. And that sort of really helps you chill out. But then again, there's like sometimes at night specifically, I'll do different types where I'm thinking of the future and plans and sort of trying to envision things for the future and stuff like that. But yeah, I'd personally recommend it. I don't know, maybe give it a try. Who knows?
No, I definitely will, because I don't know. It's just something that's never stuck with me. And like you mentioned there, nighttime is the worst for overthinking and like ideas and stuff. And I feel like I'm always getting ideas at really inconvenient times. So I do write a lot. Like it's kind of a knock-on effect of my job as well. But I don't type and stuff. You know, I actually get like pen and paper and I'll write out ideas. So, you know, at nighttime, if I do start to get a load of ideas, and like I keep a notepad beside my bed and I have to write them down, because I think writing down, it's such a therapeutic way of just like flushing everything out of your system. And I guess the other thing, like I know you do it as well, a lot I see from your Instagram stories, but I exercise a lot. So, or like I obviously go through periods of not, like this lockdown has been very bad. But like I'm back in the gym now and stuff. And I've recently taken up spinning classes, which I'm obsessed with. Yeah. They're so much fun. And it's such a good way to hardcore exercise for 45 minutes. But I definitely notice in myself when I'm not exercising a drop, like immediately. So I think that's really important as well. I don't know. I don't do consciously that many things, but I just know I've been there before in that low place, so I know how to stop it before it happens, I think now. But that's just through experience as well.
Yeah, I get that as well. Like you sort of sometimes you don't know, like I don't know the right things that I should be doing, like to sort of optimize myself, but I sort of know the wrong things that I shouldn't be doing, if that makes sense. So like when I am feeling like down a bit into a hole, I can say, okay, it's because I'm not doing this, or I'm eating like rubbish food, and I can sort of slowly start to take away steps and replace them with the better steps and sort of work my way back up the ladder, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what I was trying to say. But you put it much better, is that you know what not to do.
Yeah.
More than what you know what to do. But yeah, it's like everything, experience, learning from mistakes, all of that kind of thing. It just comes with time, and it's so personal to each individual as well. Nothing's gonna work for the same person. So I think you have to figure out your own little routine or your own triggers or whatever it is. You know in yourself and you're not feeling good, and you know in yourself what makes you feel better. And what will make you feel better long term versus what will make you feel better short term, which for me is chocolate short term. I will eat so much chocolate whenever I feel bad. And then long term, like, why did I do that? You know, so you have to also separate the quick fixes from long term progression, I think. But I don't know, it's pretty complicated. Life's a bit hard, you know. If it was easy, everyone would be flying at it. But it's rewarding too. So yeah, I think just look after yourself, make sure you're listening to what's going on with you and not what's going on with other people, because you know yourself.
Yeah, and one reason I wanted to have you on in particular is because I don't have many young females on here. I've had a few, and they've all offered different like sort of opinions, and my latest one was Sophie Taylor. She owns like a nut milk company, and she just started talking about like the way females live in society, and especially like in the business world and sort of the space that we're occupying. And it made me think, like, what, it's a bit of a weird question, a bit of a open-ended question, but what is life like for a female like today, especially in like the fields that we're sort of in, this sort of weird sector of young business / podcasting sort of people? What's it like for you as a female? Is it any different to what a male goes through, do you think?
I feel like I am really fortunate in never having experienced like prejudice against me because I'm a female. I obviously have noticed that, especially, you know, kind of in our field or whatever, the people that I've connected with on Instagram, I am the only girl that I know. I don't know any other girl podcasters. I don't know why, but I just don't.
You know what, that's a good shout, you know. I don't,
in like the entrepreneurial podcasting space, I don't know any others.
That's mad. Yeah, I never sort of sat down to think about that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about it the other day, and I was like, everyone that I've connected with on Instagram since I've started with my podcast and stuff have been guys. I don't know why, but
yeah, that's so strange.
Yeah, I don't know. I think yeah, for me personally, I've never had any kind of experience where I've thought, you know, I'm not getting this because I'm a girl, or if I was a guy, I would get more opportunities. I don't know if it's because in the creative industry, I do feel like the creative industry, from my perspective and from what I've experienced, is very evenly balanced, if not tailored more towards girls, because it's traditionally, you know, I feel like traditionally, you know, like the world of like hardcore business, very male dominated, and then creative stuff was seen as like really easy and things, so girls would do it, you know.
Yeah.
That's obviously, people have figured out how hard it is and how that's not the case at all, but I feel like traditionally that's the viewpoint. So especially like even on my journalism course, I'm trying to think, like, I think it was pretty balanced in terms of girls and guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I've never experienced any problems with that. So I can't really speak on it in terms of whether, you know, there is that imbalance. Or maybe it's because it doesn't bother me personally.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't bother me that I don't know any other girls in my space. I don't think about it a lot. It was just that the other day I was just like chatting to someone. I was like, wait, like, I actually don't know any other girls. But it would never be a limiting factor to me. I don't feel intimidated by that, but maybe for some other people they do. But I think in general, I think it goes back to like the way we're wired and things. And I do think girls traditionally are a little bit more insecure, and we lack the confidence to go out there and say, you know, yeah, I own a business, I'm killing it in my space. You know, like, guys are, this is a extreme generalization, but guys seem to be more easily able to pitch themselves and promote themselves and, you know, make sure people know what they're doing and that they're doing it the best. Whereas girls always seem to be a bit more like timid about it. I don't know why that is. I think it's like DNA or like genetic makeup or something, but we're always a bit more scared to let people know what's going on with us in terms of like business. So I feel like maybe that's why. And I know that there is definitely gender imbalance going on, and you know, there's that debate about the pay gap and all that kind of thing. I personally just have never experienced it being said against me or anything like that. But yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I don't have too much of an opinion on it, just because I have never been told you're not getting this because you're a girl, or made to feel that I haven't got an opportunity because I'm a female, and I'm just not someone that would notice it, first of all, or ever be intimidated about entering a space because it's male dominated or anything like that. If anything, it gives you an edge, because then you're different before you even start. Obviously everyone's different because they're themselves, and you know, in the space it might all be guys, but you're all different guys and you're all doing different things. But even just by the very makeup of that situation, you should use it as an edge to be like, yeah, but I'm the only female doing this or whatever, and immediately that gives you a difference if you're looking for a difference. So yeah, I don't know. So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, yeah, definitely. I sort of wasn't, like, in a weird way, wasn't looking for an answer. I just sort of it was a thought that popped up when I was speaking to like a few female podcasters and entrepreneurs and stuff like that before, and yeah, just wondered what your take on it was. But talking of podcasts, you sort of got my brain ticking. I know I run out of time. I can speak to you all day. But talking of podcasts, this is a weird question you're probably going to want to avoid. But have you ever had anyone on your podcast that you didn't get what you expected from them, or didn't sort of, you know, like when you bring someone on, there's obviously an expectation that there's sort of going to be a balance. Have you ever had someone come on? I know it's a bit of a touchy one, so feel free to sort of swerve it. But have you ever had anyone come on, or an experience has sort of been a bit sort of disheartening or anything like that in the podcast world?
Again, I feel like I have been really fortunate with guests, because there's some people that I have potentially braced myself for, not an awkward experience, but perhaps a bit more of an intimidating experience, because I feel like the more you work with bigger names and you're like going through agents and all this kind of thing, it becomes a little bit of a situation where you're like, oh god, is this person even going to be nice? I don't know. I have been really lucky. Like, I've never had an issue with any guest. They've always, even if, you know, people are nervous at the start, we've always managed to get them to warm up and have a really great conversation. Like, I'd never name names, but sometimes you maybe have really high expectations of how chatty someone's going to be or how much they're going to give you, and they might be more quiet than what you thought. That's understandable, I guess, because people portray a persona as well online. And, you know, I feel like podcasting is such an intimate setting. It's very much just a chat with someone. Okay, yes, they don't know you, but if you're doing your job well, you'll make them feel comfortable, and they become themselves rather than the person that they show the general media, I feel. So it's not necessarily a negative if you get a bit less than what you anticipated, because it just kind of means you're drawing the real person out, I feel, sometimes as well. If they're more quiet, you know, they're just more quiet, and that's fine. But you might have this massive expectation of them being this huge, bubbly, chatty person because they're like that on their social media or something like that, you know? That's kind of more the experience I've had, just being surprised at what people are like, or the opposite too. People that you expect to be really scary and intimidating have come on and been so chill and so nice and have had a really great chat, you know, which is amazing when that happens. So yeah, been really fortunate so far. No divas, no tantrums, nothing like that. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen, because I don't actually know how I would deal with that if it did. but yeah, it's all been pretty smooth sailing so far. So I'm fortunate for that.
Yeah, I've had those experiences, like, on both sides, really. Not too much on like the negative side, but I've had, you know, like when you're sort of gearing up for an episode and you're struggling, you just feel a bit sticky with like the questions and stuff. And like, it feels a bit harder to get all the questions and the notes down and just sort of the figuring out the flow of the conversation. And then as soon as we get on the call, like the person's like, hey, like blah, blah, blah. And like the questions that you sort of slaved on, they just go out the window because the person's so chatty. And sometimes it's sort of hard to expect that, you know, but yeah, I've definitely had it on both sides.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really nice when that happens too. When you're finding yourself forgetting your questions as a host, that's going to be the best conversation.
Yeah.
Because I think if in your head you're like, oh my God, what's the next question that I was going to ask? You can feel them finish talking and you've forgotten your question. You're like, oh, I don't have anything to ask. Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. but yeah, no, I mean, I love podcasting. It's an amazing experience, as I'm sure you do as well. And I think it's so interesting because you're talking about topics that you might know nothing about. And while it's scary before they come on the phone, you know, you're like, oh God, I don't know. Like for me, it'd be like, oh, I don't know anything about like car racing or something like that.
Yeah.
But you learn while you're talking and I just be honest with them and I say, listen, I don't know about your industry. Tell me, you know?
Yeah.
And if you get them talking about things that they know about and they feel comfortable about, then it can't really go wrong. But having said that, yeah, I haven't experienced, I'm sure there is people that would come on and be rude, but I just haven't. But then on the other side of it, I'm like, I don't think that would happen because why would someone say yes? You know, if they weren't gonna be up for a chat, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I have had people that have reached out to me and I thought, oh, this is good. Like reaching out, they must be keen. And then they're like, oh yeah, so what's your numbers? And like, what numbers do you get? And it's like, well, why does it matter if you've reached out to me? It sort of doesn't matter, you know? And I sort of, I try and cherry pick almost now. I'm trying to sort of get who I want on because, yeah, I don't, like as the host, I feel like you have the right. It's like a TV show almost. That's almost how I see it. Like you should have the right as to who comes on, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, for me, sometimes I struggle with that. I feel like it's almost like an imposter syndrome thing of realizing that actually you're in control and this is your show and you get to make the calls. Because sometimes, you know, I'm so pedantic about making sure the guest is happy and the guests had a good experience. And, you know, the whole brand is going to be carried well if they've enjoyed themselves and like, you know, keeping them happy that if something does go wrong and stuff, you forget that you're in control and you can say no and you call the shots. I'm getting better at it, but definitely in the beginning, I was really struggling with taking control of that and making sure, yeah, like you said, with like the numbers thing and people, growing a podcast is not the same as growing an Instagram channel. You know, you have to, it's more intense. Like you have to get people to sit there and listen to 45 minutes of an interview or something like that over the big guys that they know and they trust. And so it's a lot more work than what people think, just being like, hey, what's your numbers? And you can like roll off some Instagram figures. Like it's not that, it's so much more difficult to get people to listen to you talk. So yeah, like I feel you on the numbers thing. I understand when bigger people ask for numbers, and you know, I understand when people ask for numbers in general.
Yeah.
But I hate that question because it just devalues everything you've worked for. You know, you're like, right, I might not have the biggest numbers in the world, but I think, you know, my show's of good quality. I work really hard to get good people on and it's not my fault if I can't get the numbers up, you know?
Yeah,
so why don't you listen to it and then you decide whether you want to be a part of the whole thing, you know? I think that's, yeah, the numbers thing freaks me out, but I know it's part of it.
Yeah, exactly. I think the proof's in the pudding. No matter what the numbers are, if the show's good, the show's good, the numbers will follow. And even if your downloads are on like 10, 20 per episode now, in a year's time, in a couple months time, you might have a random burst of like people flood into your page and people will go back and watch the older episodes from number one all the way up to number whatever you're on now, and all those numbers will go up anyway. So I think the proof's in the pudding, but I could talk to you all day. I just want to get the last things out because I'm conscious of the time as well. I'm sorry for sort of going over here, but
no, don't worry.
Last few things, you've given some good advice as well. What would your advice be if you could summarize it in sort of one nice chunk to all the young people out there, no matter what field they're in, just all the young people listening to this?
Yeah, so I have two things that I live by, well, try to live by all the time. One is create opportunities. So that is like the most important thing you will ever do in your life, is to go out and make things happen for yourself. Because honestly, no matter who makes you think that they're going to make it happen for you, or what other factors are playing in it, no one will create the opportunity for you other than yourself. So that's something I've had to learn the hard way. So I'd always say that. And secondly is stay in your lane. So life is full of opportunities to compare yourself. We now have everything, you know, at the tip of our fingers with social media to look at a million other people that are doing the same thing as you. You know, I don't know if guys have it the same, but for girls, it's definitely like the appearance thing, comparing what you look like, all of that kind of thing. It's just a waste of time. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to propel you forward in any way. It's only going to set you back. So stay in your lane, focus on what you're doing, and then things will happen. You know, things will move. So create opportunities and stay in your lane is what I would say.
I love that. And then finally, what's sort of next for you? What's next on the horizon? And tied into that, what do you want your legacy to be as well?
Gosh, that's a million dollar question. What is next? I don't know. yeah, like it's really hard to say from week to week at the moment what's happening. I'm definitely looking to, I don't know if I'm going to go back to like full-time work again, or in terms of like podcasting, it's always just growth and building that reputation, getting to speak to more people that I'm interested in hearing from, you know, and checking off that dream guest list, I guess. I want to move into video so much with my podcast, but I want to do it in person. I don't want to use Zoom. That's just a personal preference of mine. So I feel like that will be the next step for the podcast. And my legacy, that's a loaded question. I don't know. I just really want to have created a career and a life that has, you know, made people feel happy whenever they speak to me. I know that sounds so cliche, but I want everyone to have fun with whatever I'm doing. I want to be, you know, a presenter or have a show or something like that in the future, and I want it to be left that anytime anyone has come on to chat to me, they've had the best time, you know, and they want to come back, and if there's ever an opportunity when they can choose who they want to have interview them, I want it to be me. So yeah, I don't know how to sum that up into a sentence or into a phrase, but yeah, I want to make people feel comfortable and to be the choice of the medium through which they share their story for the world, I think.
No, I love that. That's a good answer, actually. I never sort of thought of it on from that perspective before. Finally, I know I said finally before, but the finally, where can people find out more about you? And if you have any like last messages, feel free to let everyone know now.
Yeah, so my podcast Instagram is at What It's Like Pod, and you can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Anchor FM, pretty much anywhere that you get your podcast, you should be able to find it. I also have a website, www.whatitslikepodcast.com. I can never remember what that is. yeah, and you can kind of find me through there. My personal Instagram is at Lou Snar. So lots of channels to contact me, and do always feel free to reach out if you want to ask anything, or if you think you have a good story and you want to share it, then pitch me and we'll see if we can work something out. So yeah, thank you so much, Ted, for having me. I wanted to drop that in there as well. It's been so great talking to you. And as you said, I could also talk to you all day. So I know I've been rambling the whole time.
No, it's fine. Thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, you're right. I feel like maybe we should do another episode and a bit later on when, you know, hopefully after all the lockdown and stuff's done, we'll do a longer episode, maybe in like a different format, more of an informal chat. Because yeah, pretty much an hour bang on. So yeah, thank you so much again.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
If only they knew, the hub for young business minds.